prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, February 17th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Oh, another crazy day with the markets being closed yesterday. A lot of strange trading going on today, and certainly with the price of gold today. We had it hit today. We had a high of 1230, and we're looking at down 1980 right now on the New York spot price at 1209. Silver was down 84 cents at 1658. That came back about 40 cents, so not a... You know, off the lows of the day. Platinum was down 31 at 1179, and palladium is down 7 at $786. And on the paper markets today, you have the Dow up 8 points at 18,027. The S&P barely unchanged, 2,097. I had to go to a new website to look at my numbers because, they changed the website on me and all the numbers and can't find anything. And I'm using a new one today. So we're only going to be using those two. Crude oil today was up 70 cents at 53.48. And I did forget the USDX today. It feels like it's Monday, Al. The USDX today is down 31. At 94.05, looking to get into that 93 territory here pretty quick. So, heavy hit on gold today, down 19, 1209. Silver down 84 at 1658. And we have a great little special we'll be bringing to you later on in the program.
All right.
Are you there, Al?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Does that mean it's time for me to start talking about something?
Is that, that usually is the way it works.
All right. I was just checking out. Just wanted to be sure if anybody changed the rules over the 3-day weekend.
No.
You know, folks, we weren't here yesterday. We weren't here for Treasonous Whore Day. And a lot of people call it President's Day, but given the current state of affairs, I refer to it as Treasonous Whore Day. But we're back after 3-day weekend. Just wanted to make sure that nothing had changed. Rules hadn't changed. Here's an article from Goldcore. And the headline is International Hacking Group steals $300 million. All right. This is just sophisticated Ocean's 11 style heist is one of the largest in history. Hackers remotely accessed bank computers to manipulate accounts and ATMs. Incidentally, one of the ways they found out that they were being robbed is they had reports of a couple of ATMs that were suddenly just spitting money out into the crowd. Right? People were in the store and the ATM was just spitting money out into them. And they were grabbing whatever they could, and that was gone. But they began, something may be happening here. Banking groups make no comments. Details expose incredible systemic vulnerability. And that's the real point of the story. An international group of cyber criminals have stolen at least $300 million from over 100 banking and financial institutions in 30 different countries, all of which proves what? The problem is systemic. This isn't some group that figured out a way to hack into one bank. They figured a way to hack into 100 banks in 30 countries. There is a systemic problem here. Banks in Switzerland, the U.S., Japan, Netherlands, and particularly Russia were targeted in the past 2 years. This has been going on. New York Times reports the bank's internal computers used by employees who process daily transfers and conduct bookkeeping had been penetrated by malware that allowed the cyber criminals to record their every move. The malicious software lurked for months, sending back video feeds and images that told the criminal group, including Russian, Chinese, and Europeans, how the bank conducted its daily routines. The investigation then uncovered, though it could not identify, that just fascinates me enormously, a global network of cyber criminals using false bank accounts at J.P. Morgan Chase in the U.S. and the Agricultural Bank of China. All right? We can find it, but we can't identify them. Ha, ha, ha. I wonder about that. I would say the investigators may have funded their retirement by failing to find that stuff. It's maybe true, maybe not, but a suspicion crosses my mind. The figure of $300 million is a conservative estimate. And Kaspersky Lab speculates that the true figure may be closer to $900 million. And to put that a little bit in context, the FDIC has about $13.6 billion to insure $4.7 trillion in deposits. If the thieves stole $900 million, that would be equivalent to about 6.6% of the entire FDIC fund. It's not an enormous amount per se. Right? It's not the kind of sum that can be lethal to the system, but still, it's really fascinating, particularly because it was going on for 2 years before they figured out what was happening. Right? Think about that. That's the point to all of this. Your banker is telling you your money is safe in his digital accounts. And the truth is, at least one bunch of criminals has been able to rob 100 banks in 30 countries for 2 years before anybody figured out it was going on. Now, question becomes, how secure do you feel about making your deposits into the banks? How secure do you feel about storing your wealth in the form of digital ones and zeros on somebody's hard drive when the banks can be looted, right, for 2 years and not figure out what's going on? It's really an extraordinary, it's an extraordinary story. And it's evidence of a fundamental problem that they have with digital currency and digital bank accounts. The problem is, if we have an internet that is easily accessible, we can, I'm talking on the internet right now, Melody's on the internet, program goes out over the internet as well as several AM and FM stations and shortwave and so on. Insofar as we have come to rely on the internet and it's available to everyone, then it can't have very tight security. Huh? You can't open this up to where an IRS agent can take a little laptop computer and he can leave his office in Washington and go to audit some firm in Iowa and plug in his plug in his computer to the internet and reach back and get the files he needs from the IRS. If he can do it, I guarantee the hackers can do it. If we're going to have an internet with easy access, and it doesn't make sense if we don't have easy access, but if we do, the hackers can get into anything where any wealth is stored. And we've seen stories, Target, who else, Melody?
Oh, you remember? Well, you Target, see, yeah, there was Home Depot was one.
I think I saw one just lately. Somebody else stole the identification, the identity information for something like 60 million people just recently.
There was a large bank whose records were taken.
Yeah,
I can't remember the banks.
That we found out about. And this article that I was just reading from makes the point that none of the banks that were actually robbed have made any admissions that they were robbed. And the American Banking Association or one of these groups, they have no comment to make. The whole system depends on the public's trust and the public's confidence in the banking system to be secure. And the truth of the matter is, as long as we have an internet system that plugs us ultimately into the banks and it's easy access, the hackers are going to find a way to break into the banks. I don't believe there's anything they can do about it. Here's another article along the same lines. If I can find the mouse cursor here. This is from The Guardian in England. Headline is White House warns tech world that Sony-style hacks could become the norm, ramping up the threat of hacking. While continuing its delicate dance with tech giants, the White House warned Silicon Valley that cyber attacks like the one that crippled Sony could become the norm unless the private sector cooperates more fully with the government. But that's a bunch of crapola, in my opinion. But regardless, the Obama administration set out new cybersecurity rules ahead of a Stanford University summit on Friday to encourage information sharing like never before between the private sector and the expanding U.S. intelligence bureaucracy. Why don't we encourage sharing with the Chinese intelligence agencies? You know, this is the whole deal, as if we can trust the government. In order to protect you folks from the bad hackers, we're going to get all your information and share it with the government from wherever you do commerce. The whole thing is, it's an attempt by the government to take advantage of and exploit a kind of crisis. There's a problem. And the government says, well, how can we use that problem to benefit ourselves? A crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And that's what they're doing here. They're saying they've got to, in order to protect yourself from these cyber attacks, we've got to allow the corporations to share information with the government like never before. Well, one thing, when you have the corporations closely associated with government, what you have is fascism. It's a working definition of fascism, and that's what Obama's advocating here. And the truth of the matter is, I don't care who you share your information with. You can share it with the NSA. You can share it with corporations, wherever. No one can really protect it. Right? And what's the implication on all of this? The implication is that we are all, to some degree, vulnerable insofar as we store our wealth. That is, whatever energy that we have exerted to make a dollar, to make a profit, to save some money, all of that reflects your blood, your sweat, your energy, your effort, your life. And insofar as you've managed to save some of, the currency that you've earned, and you want to save that currency, that it's an expression of how much you've worked and how much you've saved and so on. You have to choose. How are you going to save it? You can send it to the bank, and they'll assure you that it's safe. But if you bother to look around, you know it's not. All this digital stuff, if you don't get robbed by the cyber hackers, you're going to ultimately get robbed by the government when it's clear they need the money. Say, oh, sorry. You're going to have to do a bail-in on the banks rather than a bail-out. And the implication, You have to put your wealth into another physical form where people can't steal it by wire.
You know, it just amazes me how so many people, and I get those that don't understand what's going on, that continue to live in that world, and you know, they're in internet, everything they do is internet, their bank accounts, their checks they write, everything is processed through the internet. It always amazes me those that understand what's going on, how they continue to do business through the internet, and it's no difference than, and there's no privacy to it whatsoever, but yet those who know what's going on, I mean, you know, we do like privacy and so forth, but yet they give it up by doing the internet. And it's the same thing as overseas investments and storing your gold overseas and doing, it's like, why would anybody do that? I still don't get it. I don't, you know, unless you're a multi-millionaire and you have access and you can gain the access to your investments overseas quite easily if you can live there or have your family live there, then I can get it. But most people
even
do
then,
this. I mean,
even then,
but yet I can still, I mean, if I had $20, $30 million, you can understand. There's a lot of people who do. But those
I buried
who,
in a shoebox and planted the backyard.
But those who do the perf mints and all these, you know, storage overseas and certificates and pool accounts and so forth, I just don't get. I mean, they're just asking for trouble. Not to say that there is trouble there, but I would think taking physical delivery of something, it just erases so much risk.
Well, the reason people like the internet and the digital and the rest, it's very convenient. You know, you can't deny the convenience.
I
mean, that's one of the things, and they're willing to not think about the risk or accept the risk of doing it that way. You know, there's a convenience factor.
Exactly, but it's also been convenience that is part of the agenda.
Well, it's the convenience, which is exactly what makes
it vulnerable. Exactly.
It's the idea when
the people.
It's the idea
they accept it.
It's the idea that the internet is wide open, easily accessed. That means it is, by definition, convenient. And so we take that convenience, but when we do, it's also convenient for the robbers, the hackers. It's convenient for them, too. All right? You need something that's less convenient. If you want more security, you need less convenience. You've got to make that trade if you care to make the trade. As for people who store their gold in foreign countries, the underlying premise is that our gold, if you store the gold in this country, that our government is such a bunch of sneaky SOBs that they may steal your gold. So in order to protect yourself, you need to store it in a foreign country. Well, what makes anyone think that the foreign governments are necessarily any more honorable than our own? There's first question. And the second question is, if our government starts seizing gold that's kept in various private vaults around the country, what makes anyone suppose that foreign governments won't do the same? And if your money is stored in some vault in Singapore, for example, or Hong Kong, or, I don't know, Luxembourg, or France, or Switzerland, why would anyone believe that if our government starts seizing gold, they won't have some reason that will apply to Switzerland? And Switzerland, well, we've got to steal your gold too. We live in peculiar times when people can't, it's hard to trust what's, with all the instability and the immorality that's in this world, it's hard to know who you can trust. And ultimately, you are forced to consider the possibility. It's hard to believe that maybe you're the most trustworthy person in your life. Maybe you got to trust you. Right? You got to do what you bet, and you've got to take your chances. You know, it's interest. It's part of our situation. We live in interesting times, and therefore, you have to take responsibility. I think that's the biggest lesson in all of this, is precisely because the banks can't be trusted. The digital currency can't be trusted. Fiat currency can't be trusted. The stock manipulation can't be trusted. You're going to have to figure out what you can trust on your own. Make up your mind to do the best you can to try to protect it. You may not have to do just one thing, but you may want to put your wealth in several different locations where you think, okay, this one, if something happens this one, I still got the other two. Maybe that's what you have to do, but you're going to have to take responsibility for your own lives. Let's take responsibility for some commercials, Melody.
Right.
We're going to be back. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I got a great little special here, $1,954. $1,954. It includes a little bit of gold and a little bit of silver. And I have a Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. A Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. It's going to be certified by either NGC or PCGS. And since about the last quarter of 2014, they've been shown to have only about 526,000 of them certified by these two companies, in which these two companies are the most recognized in the country for their certifications. And what's interesting about these Mint State 64 St. Gaudens, if we go back just to a week ago, spot gold is down $31. But the Mint State 64 St. Gaudens from a week ago is actually up $45. So if you look at that spread, it's almost an $80 spread in a week. So I think that's a tremendous sign that shows me that, you know, when you have something that's supply and demand, you have a lot of purchasing that is going on in the $20 gold pieces. Even if we went back to 1 month ago, most of all the $20 gold pieces, they're only down $10, $15, and $20. But yet we've had a $70 drop in gold. Mint State 62 $20 Liberties, they're actually the same price as they were a month ago, even though we saw a $70 drop in gold. But I think the Mint State 64 St. Gaudens, they're a beautiful coin. And to see them perform this strong in the pressure that we've seen in gold of late is a very nice sign that people are buying across the country. So that is included in the special. And I also have some 90% Walkers, 50-cent pieces. And one of my competitors on shortwave, they're actually charging 66% more than what I am charging for these Walker coins. If you bought a full bag of Walkers, you'd be paying over...
You mean Walking Liberties, right?
Walking Liberties, right. Walking Liberties, you'd be paying over $10,000 for a bag. You'd be paying almost $24,000. Your premium would be over $10,000. That means silver would have to go to $28 just for you to break even. So we're including a $30 face value of 90% Walkers, Walking Liberties, 50-cent pieces, and this includes all your shipping costs for $1,954. So they can call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and of course, we do archive all the programs on the website.
I've got an article here from the Washington Times. It actually reports some good news. All right? I'm surprised. Oh, my gosh. I found some good news in the news.
That is good news.
Pretty much amazing to me. Federal judge halts Obama amnesty. White House to appeal. That's the headline. A federal judge late Monday halted President Obama's deportation amnesty, ruling he overstepped his powers in trying to grant legal status and benefits and privileges to millions of illegal immigrants in a stunning decision that chides the president and throws the White House plans into disarray just a day before applications were to be accepted. All right, this is all about the amnesty plan for gun illegal aliens. The White House said it will appeal Judge Andrew S. Hannon's decision, but it's unclear whether the case could reach the Circuit Court in New Orleans or even the Supreme Court before Wednesday, mañana, when the Homeland Security, we say mañana because it won't be long before it'll be press one if you want to speak in English, and maybe it'll be automatic Spanish if the government has its way. Wednesday, mañana, which is when Homeland Security had planned to begin accepting the first applications under the new amnesty. Department of Homeland Security, this is the judge in his decision. He says the Department of Homeland Security was not given any discretion by law to give 4.3 million removable aliens what the Department of Homeland Security itself labels as legal presence. In fact, the law mandates that these illegally present individuals be removed. Department of Homeland Security has adopted a new rule that substantially changes both the status and employability of millions. These changes go beyond mere enforcement and even non-enforcement of the nation's immigration scheme. It goes on as a little. There's a great deal more. The decision is 123 pages, according to the article. It eviscerated the administration's legal arguments. Obama, according to the judge, Mr. Obama even hurt his own case by saying he'd acted to change the law. All right? It's not, as chief executive, he doesn't get to change the law. He gets to execute the law. Two different things. Only the legislature can change the law. Insofar as Obama said, I'm going to change the law, the judge said, no, you're not, Sonny. You work in the executive department. You don't have any power to change the law. So we'll watch and see how this goes. But it was really, I was amazed, I was surprised, I was shocked, I was delighted. Somebody in government actually gives a darn about how things operate in this country, and it's not every one of them that are part of a criminal conspiracy. And it's just refreshing to me to say, oh my gosh, there's a judge in this country who's actually trying to enforce the law, not just give more power to the White House and maybe Congress. Well, I find that cause for celebration. Yay, yippee, we got a good judge. What do you think, Melody? Is it cause for celebration, or is it just another bump in the road?
Well, I think it's cause for celebration, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think offering, I think if they wouldn't have been offering all of these tax credits and health care and hotlines and everything else, I wonder if this judge would have just left it go. But I think with all these, it was incredible what these people were getting.
Yeah. Illegal aliens. Why don't we have a hotline for rapists and murderers? You know, they're just not properly understood, Melody. We need to have amnesty for rapists and serial killers and that sort of thing, because
if another country was, if Canada was giving away free money to Americans that went up there, you'd see a mass exodus of Americans up there to get the free money. Mm-hmm. So, it isn't the people. They're just doing what they're told to do.
No, that's exactly right. This isn't about,
the
Mexicans that are coming across the border to come up here. This is about the people in Washington, D.C., who are criminals. They are breaking the law. They are sworn to protect and to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. They are obligated to perform duties of enforcing the law in the executive branch of government. They're just saying, we don't have to do that. I'm the president. I don't have to obey the law. The law is for the little people. And we can let criminals flood into this country. There's another article that we may not get to today, but one of the arguments is that in order to protect the people, we've got to allow the illegal aliens to get Social Security numbers and driver's licenses and get jobs and vote. Because if we don't, they're going to probably, if they can't get jobs, they're going to have to rob us. So to protect ourselves from being robbed, we got to give them a chance to get jobs.
Well, that was just...
Well, how about we just seal the border in the first place, and we don't let them flood into the country? All right? The government said, we got these illegal aliens here, and we got to make sure they get some money, or they're going to rob you, knock you on the head, steal your stuff. And I'm saying, wait a second, isn't the government supposed to protect our borders? Why are the illegal aliens illegal here in the first place? And the answer is because we have a government engaged in treason against the United States of America. We have a government that has more in common with criminals than it does with people who are honest, hardworking, and moral. They feel natural affinity. Look, there's an illegal alien, morally indistinguishable from a congressman or perhaps a president. Where are we going? I don't know. But we see a judge. We've got a judge who did the right thing. All right, hooray for him. And he didn't just do it a little bit. He wrote a 123-page opinion on this. That's a book, practically. Huh? He has made a sincere and serious effort to say, look, this is wrong, and here's why it's wrong. And now Obama's going to have a problem. Because he's going to have to write back. He's going to have to take this ultimately to the Supreme Court and say, look, forget all the legal arguments. I'm black, and therefore I get to do what I want.
Well, the article that you're talking about really doesn't say that the judge came to this opinion based on illegal aliens. It was just based on Obama's statements.
Obama was exceeding his power.
That he was changing the law. So if Obama hadn't said that he was acting to change the law, this judge would have went through with it. So is this judge saying that, he, believes that allowing these illegal aliens in is wrong? Or is it, Obama just said the wrong? No, he's not. So
Well, yeah, he's saying it is wrong. He's saying they're obligated to protect this country. They have some things they can do to enhance the ability of illegal aliens legally do. They can decide not to enforce or to enforce. They have that, but they can't change the law. He said, look, you have a fairly narrow range of activities that you can perform relative to this issue, but you can't change the law. You can't just say, well, we're going to take a bunch of criminals and we're going to say several million of you, that's all right, we're going to give you amnesty. No,
that's my
not.
Point. If Obama hadn't said that, Obama hurt his own case by saying he acted to change the law.
Hmm?
If he hadn't said that, this judge might not have. So
no, I think the judge would have done it anyway. But this was an illustration of one of the mistakes that Obama and or the attorneys that he was working with made, and certainly not. He was quoting Obama saying he's going to change the law. No, you're not. So I said, nope, that's not your job. Not your job, Sonny. All right? Which is, again, hooray, hooray! You
absolutely.
Know? This country isn't finished yet. Although we'll watch and see what happens to the judge now. See how long he lasts and holds his position. Judge Hannon, H-A-N-E-N. Judge Hannon, and he's in the Third Circuit, if I understand correctly, if I picked up on that correctly. In any case, yeah, good news. Again, not about the illegal aliens. Not really. It's about the criminals in Washington. We have people in Congress and the White House who just look you in the eye, slap on a big grin, and say, guess what? We're going to help people commit crimes. And you people aren't going to do a darn thing about it. Yeah. Some of us did. A judge. Much to my surprise. So, hooray.
Hooray.
Where are we, Melody?
Well, now they won't have the illegal aliens to fill in all of these abandoned properties. These so-called zombie properties that are left by homeowners on which their property went into foreclosures. The New York State Attorney today is wanting to introduce some sort of legislation for New York that would force banks and other mortgage lenders to maintain the vacant properties while they are in foreclosure, because, you know, these vacant homes, people leave right after they usually get their first notice of foreclosure. And, you know, then also these properties just fall into disrepair.
Yep.
This bill would also require the lenders to tell homeowners that they can stay in their homes until ordered out by the judge. As I mentioned, lots of time these homeowners abandon their homes and the houses end up with, you know, broken windows and so forth. What's interesting,
copper ripped out of the walls if you've got copper pipes, for example,
yeah,
copper wires.
Yeah. Well, with the price of
strip the house and wreck it.
With the price of copper going down, I don't think anybody really cares that much anymore about copper. But
here it says,
perhaps the Abandoned Property Neighborhood Relief Act would also create a registry of these vacant properties to help these municipalities to enforce the local laws regarding the property maintenance. So they would actually impose fines to these banks and so forth if they didn't keep these properties up. But here's the important part. Statewide, this is New York, the problem of zombie properties has increased nearly 50% in 2014 compared to 2013. There were about almost 17,000 zombie foreclosures across the state last year. And nationally, New York comes in behind Florida and New Jersey with the third highest number of these properties. And it's interesting because, I mean, to me, I think these are huge numbers considering we're supposed to have an economy that is turning around. The greater New York metro area had by far the highest number of these foreclosures. 17% of all properties in the foreclosure was in that area. And that is up 73% from a year 73%.
Zombie foreclosures
from a year ago in the greater New York metro area. So, again, how great is our economy helping people? So another sign that things are not as they want us to believe. So if it's happening in New York, but we do know there was a mass exodus of people leaving New York because of the high taxes and everything that they have, and they're trying hard to get business in New York. But
I hear you should be able to get cheap housing for your help. You know, you could lure people into New York by offering them a free abandoned home.
Mm.
Let's take a break for some more commercials, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back, please. Stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, everybody was so excited last week because of the Greece accepting the agreements coming out of Europe to keep them from defaulting. But those talks broke down today, and now the country is racing trying to find financing before the existing bailout plan ends. And it just seems like nobody really cares. You know, everybody's like to shrug. Everybody's just immune to the importance, and whether it's an immediate reaction in the markets or whether it's something a little bit further down the road. But again, just another sign. I think people are just worn out with all this stuff that's going on. And there's no reaction to anything. It's like everybody is on drugs.
Yeah,
everybody is on some sort of a Prozac or something. It just doesn't matter. And even the fighting. The agreement with the ceasefire with Russia and Ukraine that went into effect just Saturday night doesn't seem to be doing anything. So and everything is just happy. You hit gold and the stock markets are high. And it's, crude oil came back a little bit though. But
well, I think that'll be one of the. I think we are perhaps seeing an end, at least for a while, to the Ukrainian problem. I think Ukraine has, according to some reports, 8,000 men surrounded by the rebels. Now, they're not going to get out of that if that's true, I don't know how big the Ukrainian military is, but that's a lot of men to be essentially captured. And it puts Ukraine in a difficult situation where Ukraine has to negotiate, say, all right, you give us our men back, and we'll let you do this, that, and the other. They've got to negotiate, or Ukraine has got to say, no, you haven't captured our people, and we're going to continue to fight, which means Ukraine will be seen as breaking the ceasefire. All right? They've got an awkward situation. And I think the lesson here is we just might be at a point where Ukraine is ready to just say, look, okay, we're out of here. We quit. That's it. All right, Russia, you can take eastern Ukraine if you want. We never liked those people anyway. Let them go be part of Russia. I don't know that it'll go that far, but I suspect there will be perhaps a partition between east and west Ukraine. And Ukraine may not abandon East Ukraine to the Russians, but they may give them some autonomy where they can function as a quasi-separate nation. We'll watch and see. But maybe we're getting to the end of this, in part because we had one article on the sanctions that they were imposing, most recently that the European Union was imposing on Russia. They have sanctioned something like 24 individual Russians. All right, a couple of deputies in the Ministry of Defense. I don't know who the others are. There's another one who is a minister in the parliament who is also a crooner. All right, he also sings and has been favorably compared to Frank Sinatra. And these people are being individually sanctioned by the European Union in order to somehow cause Russia to stop doing whatever it is it's doing. And I look at those sanctions, they seem like they're trivialities. It's like saying, and we're going to make sure that the guy who sweeps the sidewalks out in front of the Kremlin, he has to ride to work every day on the subway instead of driving his own car. Well, it's not that big a deal. It's not that important. It's not that devastating. It's more of an annoyance than anything else. And it makes me wonder, is the European Union doing this because the United States told them to? Because the sanctions seem too weak to me. And I would expect the United States to be much more difficult and aggressive in sanctions. You got to do this and this and this. And all we're doing is we're going after two dozen individuals and a couple of corporations?
Well, I think the main sanction was the drop in oil prices.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, no, that did hurt them.
Yeah, I know.
And so,
what's this about?
And so,
you know, it's like picking out some guy who lives across the street and says, oh, my gosh, I've been sanctioned by a foreign government.
But it was
I can't travel or do and store my money in a foreign country right now, or a European country, and I can't travel there. How big deal?
Well, it isn't, but I mean, it certainly did with the drop in oil prices. It certainly did hurt their currency drop and so forth, and you know, confidence. And we talk about confidence all the time.
I agree with that.
Was the major hit, and even Europe is getting hurt by these sanctions because you know if Russia hurts, Europe's going to hurt too.
I understand. Which means there's a lot of people who really have a vested interest in saying enough of this nonsense. Let's stop this. The rebels have captured 8,000 or 9,000Ukraine troops. The sanctions are trivialities. It's kind of evidence. Look, let's cut this game out, and we'll make some kind of a deal here and kind of take the steam out of this situation. Maybe that's on the verge of happening. And if it is, one of the consequences could be a rising price in oil. All right? Once this happens, if they say, okay, we're done with this, then the sanctions, and it may be that the decline in the price of oil may be part of the reason why some people are saying, wait a second, we can't keep sanctioning Russia on this oil deal. We're going to go broke ourselves back here in the United States. We're going to destroy our own oil industry while we're fooling around trying to get at Russia. So,
Well, you know, the U.S. is being blamed for the drop in oil prices because of our oil production and glutting the market with it. But so, you know, if you have a country that sort of interrupts, I mean, there's reckoning coming because of that somewhere down along the line. Another part, you know, I'm going to switch over to ISIS. Big headline is that Italy is fearing the ISIS invasion from Libya. And it's interesting. I think the key part about this is they're waiting for the UN Security Council to come in, and they're hoping that the UN will do whatever is necessary to protect Italy against the ISIS threat. When you think about it, Libya is only 109 miles away and 300 miles from Sicily. And they had a 64% increase in illegal migrant arrivals by sea last year. That's huge, 64%. In all of 2014, more than 170,000 people arrived from Libya and Turkey, and that was the highest number ever. It's like these countries are just asking for it.
Yeah.
They're just asking for it.
BP, it's because people have lost their sense of national boundaries. The whole idea of the European Union is to essentially eliminate much of the nationalism that previously existed in the European continent and led to war. Because they had separate nations, they had separate interests, they wind up, it predisposed them to fight and to get into wars. They're saying, look, if we could set up a union here in Europe and everybody is on the same team, then we don't have to fight. Well, you can see where that's headed. It's not going to work. But while we're having this, you know, kumbaya union, guess what? The illegal aliens are flooding into their countries too. And I guarantee they're probably the governments of Italy and whichever other countries, France, one way or another, they're encouraging that invasion. They're not doing enough to stop it. They are implicitly encouraging it, just like ours is. And the reason they want to destroy nations, they want to homogenize your neighborhood where you've got people of different races and different cultures, different religions, and put them all together and let them fight among themselves, but they won't fight against the government. They won't fight against the New World Order. You know, historically, definition of a nation for thousands of years has been one race, one culture, one language, one religion, one fixed territory. And you can see, if you care to look around, we are losing that. Our own government won't protect our borders. It's not an accident. They want to destroy this nation. They want to destroy it as a nation and leave it just part of a North American Union, a North American economy, where the only thing that matters is how much money can you make. And it's wrong. It's bad for everybody. It's immoral. It's treasonous. The government has anyone in the government who is espousing this idea, well, let's have a North American Union. Yeah, you're guilty of treason, Bubba. You read the definition of treason in the Constitution. I believe it's in Article 3, the judicial branch, levying war against the several United States, meaning the states of the Union, giving aid and comfort to their enemies. That's what they're doing. They're trying to destroy this country. That's treason. And we sit here like bumps on a pickle, and not many people get it, and virtually no one is doing anything about it. But the concept of treason is becoming a little better. It's gaining some traction, in at least on the internet, and I think other places as well. We're going to see people are going to start talking about treason. We may even see a couple of trials before this is all over. But the truth is, the president and the Congress and the Senate and the courts, they have absolutely no authority under the Constitution to enact laws or enforce laws or ignore laws that are contrary to the maintenance of this country as a nation. And that's what they're doing. And they're doing it in Italy, and they're doing it in France, and they're doing, we're going to homogenize everybody.
You know, what's interesting with this in Italy is one of their other concerns is their billion-dollar oil and infrastructure investment that they have in Libya. And now they're calling all Italian nationals to leave Libya. And, you know, it's their investments is turning against them. And certainly we saw what or read about what Libya did to the Christians over this weekend. So it's you're right, Al. You can't intertwine these nations. They've tried and it fails every time.
Well, it's like Yugoslavia. All right, they've got a mixture. They've had a mixture there for years of a number of different smaller nations, and it's been they just don't get along. But the wars that develop tend to stay local.
So you have ISIS that's basically, you know, I mean, how do you tell these groups apart anymore? I mean, ISIS, Libyans, I mean, they're all have this, you know. Anyway.
Well, how do you tell them apart? I don't know. You find out whether are they like you, you know, and we have. And people don't want to talk about that because it's racist and a bunch of other things. They'll say, oh, that's racism. Yeah, it's nationalism. And you're going to see a rise among the people to become more nationalistic and say, we're going to take care of our country and to heck with the rest of you. And to some degree, the problem in Greece is evidence of that. You know, we didn't just have a new government that managed to trick its way into power in Greece. They got in because they said, look, we're going to stop all this bill paying. We got to get off. We don't have the money. We're bankrupt. We can't pay the bills. And we're going to stop trying. And we're going to end this austerity. We're going to diminish it. And we know it's going to be trouble. But we're going to do this because it's the right thing to do. Well, they're doing what's best for Greece. I think they are. All right? Even though it's going to cause them some trouble and there'll be some chaos, but they're already in trouble. And they are, even though they are leftists and socialists, maybe communists and the rest of it, they're also behaving in a nationalist manner. And I think we're going to see more nations that do that, that sit back, and we're going to see movements. It didn't happen where some politician says, well, we're going to try this. It happened, the Greek people rose up and they said, this is what we want. That's grounds for a kind of nationalism. And if the same kind of nationalism catches on in Spain or France or Italy, we're going to see some very strange things happen. And if this nationalism gets traction, we can see it here in this country. And there's going to be nations that do some things that, you know, trying to protect what they regard as their nation, they're liable to go to extremes that are dangerous to everybody. But you can't just say, look, we're just going to keep moving other people and other cultures in, and you got to respect their culture as much as you respect your own. It can't work. It's not going to work. It's contrary to people's interests. It's stupid. You know, multiculturalism, the idea that I have to respect other cultures as much as I respect my own. Well, that's a great idea if we're talking about cultures that are equally productive. You show me a culture that's still rolling around on wagon wheels, and I'll say that's an interesting culture. And they may have some colorful dances and music, but in the final analysis, their life expectancy is 45 or 50 years old. And that's not a culture I want to say is equal to another culture that can keep me alive for 75, 80, 90, 100 years. Cultures are not, they matter. They matter. You can't just abandon and say, oh, we don't have to pay attention to one. We'll say one culture is better than another. We do have to. And if you're in one of the good cultures, you'd better learn how to hang on to it, because there's a lot of people who want to move into your neighborhood. I'm Alfred Addis. It's the American Independence Hour.
No, it isn't.
Back. Oh, my God. I do this. I do a program on Tuesday nights. Financial survival. And we will be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money, money, always